Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Today our devotion is called Douglas Fir. That was the first tree I ever learned the name of, was a Douglas Fir. Our verse is Psalms 104:16-17. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. Like the cedars of Lebanon, the Douglas fir, which economically is the most valuable tree in America, is full of sap, as we shall illustrate later. Its wood is soft, durable, and straight-grained, and thus is easy to work with. 8 billion of the 51 billion feet of softwood boards produced in the United States in 1973 were Douglas fir. The Douglas fir is not really a fir, but a scientific name that means false hemlock. The tree was discovered in Oregon in 1825 by a Scottish botanist named Douglas, for whom it was named. It takes about 20 years for a 12-inch seedling to reach 35 to 40 feet. The tree isn't ready for harvesting until it is about 70 years old. Then it requires only 4.5 minutes to fall that 280-foot giant with a power saw. Two methods of reforestation are used. In order to plant inaccessible hillsides, seeds are scattered by helicopters. A coating of a blue-green chemical called endrin prevents birds and rodents from eating them. If a squirrel eats a coated seed, he will get a stomach ache and will not be likely to eat another one. The blue-green color also makes the seeds less visible to the birds. The greatest enemy of the adult Douglas fir is a beetle that usually attacks only weak or sickly trees. It is when the Douglas fir beetle bores into a healthy tree that we learn the tree is full of sap. Then the tree secretes a heavy flow of resin so powerful that the beetle is pushed out of the bark. Throughout the Bible, trees are used to represent people. Healthy Christians are likened to trees planted by rivers of water, Psalms 1:3, from which they may get sap. As a healthy Douglas fir is full of sap and can resist the beetle that would destroy it, so the healthy Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, which is his best defense against invading sin. And you could see how you could take a devotion such like this one and make a whole week's Bible curriculum out of it, science curriculum out of it, art curriculum out of it, and a geography curriculum out of it. Very cool. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may we never forget the source of our strength is only in you. We pray for the families that are suffering from COVID. So many around me right now, much more than ever before. And we pray for families that have experienced loss. Lord, you know all of our weaknesses. You know, you made us. And thank you for being with us. We pray for our nation. We pray for our schools and our churches. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. Thank you that I can talk over the airwaves. May you be with us in this show. May your Holy Spirit go before us. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, today in our arts and crafts, we're going to draw a Christmas tree. There are so many Christmas trees that are Douglas fir trees, young Douglas fir trees. So that seemed appropriate. But you might want to just make some little mini Christmas trees out of your, you know, out of whatever you want to. You could go out and look for a branch of any any type of evergreen tree that would be appropriate. You can have your kids brainstorm. I also put in my Pinterest site a video of showing the larva of these little bark beetles and more information. The great research project would be to do a little paper on the bark beetles. Whatever you do, you need to have fun learning. Oh, and I need to remind you, go to my Pinterest site. It's mrgamblin2. So those are my call numbers, mrgamblin2. And Gamblin is spelled G-A-M-B-L-I-N. So have fun learning. Well, in our curriculum corner today, we're going to look at a product for preschool. So many of my parents ask, what do I do with my preschoolers when the other kids are doing school? Well, they should be mainly playing, that's for sure. And any preschool curriculum needs to have the teacher or the parent there to help them every step of the way. So it's a lot of work, but this one that I'm going to talk about is put out by the Tuttle Twins, The Good and the Beautiful, and it can be used with children ages 3 to 5. You might even be able to advance it a little bit if you wanted to include your first grader. There's a whole bunch of components in it, and you can buy additional stuff, but if you just got the book and picked and chose what you could use, then it would be a little bit of a guide for that preschool child. Questions parents ask, or your comments. You know, I appreciate this comment so much. Angela says that for years, no one in their family even spoke of God. Now her children are 12 and 9 years old and on the autism spectrum. So she started really feeling convicted and started praying every day and asking for the Holy Spirit to help her and then to help the family. And she started talking about Jesus every day, reading stories to her 9 and 12 year old, letting them ask questions. Well, this morning, her son said, "Mom, I believe in God now." And he gave examples of why he believed in God. And I'll tell you, if you're the kind of person who needs belief, you need to have your children go through some of the wonderful documentaries. The documentary of, for example, Patterns of Evidence. That series is wonderful. It proves the Bible from an archaeological point of view. And then the other one is a series called Noah in 7 Days. I think it's a 4-part series. And it really delves into the flood and evolution. Because believe it or not, evolutionists are, it's a religion. And instead of Jesus, they have things like dinosaurs that they really, you know, kids love dinosaurs, and so they attach their message to dinosaurs. You have to realize that, you know, skepticism really crept in about that time, that Darwin, and then the public schools started really pushing that agenda until it just permeates every single thing, every museum that you go to. And we need to counteract that. So those kinds of videos really help solidify, because kids want to know. They want to know the truth. They want to know the truth. And it's our job to point them in the right direction. This mom wants to know, what do you pack for lunches? Her family is out of the house at least 3 days a week. So they've just been having, you know, ham sandwiches, buns, and apples. But the kids are getting pretty tired of that. She's probably getting tired of that too. Anyway, here's my advice. Make some of your sandwiches some days on a different type of bread. Get them exposed to different types of breads. Regular sliced bread, wheat bread, you know, some of the more nutritious breads, maybe sprouted bread. Those are all very delicious. My daughter-in-law makes what she calls little snack trays. And so it's almost a Lunchable, but she has a little Tupperware that's has the little square containers. And there's it's so much fun because then the kids can put together their own. She puts either crackers or sometimes she does put some bread in there. But the kids can put together their crackers, their cheese, their dip, chips, celery, any of those types of things that they don't normally eat look really fun when you're putting together and creating faces with your food and having fun with your food. This might not answer your question specifically, Courtney, but it answers in general, how do you make food to take with you that is fun, different? We, as human beings, we like things to be different. You can also make wraps. I know I love wraps. And so have fun eating. That's all I can say. Well, today we're continuing our interview with Benny DeShara. I hope you enjoyed yesterday's interview. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
How can you give your teen moral guidance? Have some difficult discussions about moral issues that come up in news stories, things that happen at school, situations in movies, and whenever possible. Education is the process of replacing inaccurate beliefs or assumptions with more accurate ones. For your teen to enjoy and value these conversations, you must listen to her and take her opinion seriously. You don't have to agree with her, but if you assume that you are right and she is wrong, she will shut you out. If you listen carefully, you may actually learn something in the process and share with each other some deep connections that can continue for a lifetime. After all, she probably doesn't have those kind of discussions with her friends. This educational insight was brought to you from the book Raising Four-Dimensional Children in a Two-Dimensional World, available at 4D-2D.com.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome. I'm here for part two of our interview with Benny DeShara. Mm-hmm. And we left yesterday off where you were describing some of your injury, where, you know, just something in your home where you fall down. Yeah. You know, people need to take serious these freak accidents, so to speak.
They do.
They don't just happen in car accidents or off a horse or a motorcycle.
No. No. And, you know, and it was sort of scary. I mean, I'm a young guy, so it was just unnerving coming out of the injury.
Did you have seizures?
None.
So you didn't have seizures. None. That's a good thing.
My neurologist told me when he released me 3.5 months later, he told me, he says, like, you're a miracle patient. You should not be where you are right now. And I said, but I told you I have a bigger doctor than you. And he just chuckled, right? And people go, were you really that direct? You're like, yes, I am. And it's the truth. So when people doubt miracles today, and Satan is on the loose and he's lying, and if anybody doubts that, just look at this past year with the pandemic, mm-hmm. everything else going. And fear is his strongest tool. And we can't succumb to that because we know that we were created in the image of the One, and that the One is over us. And for His grace in my life, I'm completely healed except for the taste and the smell. But yet we talk here today, and there's praises in heaven for that.
You know, the the taste and the smell, you could have lost your sight, because that is the occipital lobe.
That's right.
Back there.
That's right.
Or if you'd lost your hearing, then you would have lost your music.
Yeah, and there's so many things that could have been lost. And people, you know, I lost my dad in October. Great man, taught me what legacy was all about. Got diagnosed with cancer 9 days later. It was like that.
Wow.
So saddened terribly because I love my dad. And in the last 9 days, I know we're diverting here, but in those last 9 days, I had a discussion with Dad.
Praise God.
Twice, right? And I said, so Dad, because I'm ordained as well, I'm like, Dad, so not only do you have a seat at the buffet table, you now have a nameplate set out. So I need to know if you know where you're going and why. And he says, yes, I know where I'm going, son. I said, not good enough an answer for me. I need to know. And so, and he told me, but for Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected, I'm going to heaven. I'm like, then it doesn't matter what the doctors tell you. So, and I know I'll see you again. So in July, the band, we're going in the studio. We're releasing a single that I wrote for and with my dad called I'll Meet You There. And it addresses loss. And loss doesn't have to be death of someone, you know. It could be loss of a spouse in a divorce. That happens all the time. It could be loss of a child who turns away and goes prodigal, mm-hmm. right? It could be anything. But just know for your listeners, no matter what you're going through, God is in it. Jesus died, stayed on that cross and died for us and rose again, so we have access to the throne room of the King of Kings. And so if we would press into that and really grab a hold of that, our lives are set and we can move in joy and we can move in a boldness and not be fearful, but be fearless.
Yes, we need to be fearless.
Yeah.
You know, faith versus fear.
That's correct.
That really is in our head where the battle is won or lost.
That's right. That's right.
Well, back to your DVD, your CDs or your records. I don't know what they call them nowadays.
Music. Music's
yes,
great.
Your music. Your empowered music.
That's right.
Your Soul Cry. Your so all the music that you have produced now, you produced it after you became a full-fledged Christian?
I did. I had a secular rock band. I grew up in New Orleans. I had a secular rock band in New Orleans. And when I had hair, it was like yours, Rose. I mean, a lot of it. And so and now less is more. But it's, you know, and we were trying to be famous, right? And but the devil will lie to you in that and make you think you're something you're not. I saw other bands that we played with back then, and they were doing things that I never want my kids to see, and they were nobodies. They were just, but, you know, the world telling
yes.
them, oh, you're great. So after I got saved, it was, I was like, Lord, I've given you everything but the music. I seriously don't want to do tambourines and stuff because I don't, but I will if that's what you want. And but if you let me do what I do, I just want to bring some passion and some energy to your message, because if there's one thing to be passionate and energetic about, isn't it Jesus? I mean,
yes.
isn't it?
And you do, you write and you sing?
Yes. Yes.
And you...
Yeah, I founded the band, and I write the songs, and I write on keyboard. And see, my guys in the band are family. And so when we write a song, when I'm starting to write a song, I go to each one of them, and Shane's my lead guitar player. I'm like, Shane, bring me what God gives you. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Justin, my other guitar player. Mick on drums, and his son just, he's 6 years old, and just in October got leukemia.
Aww,
and so they were up at St. Jude's, but praise Jesus, he's in full remission. And this little man, Cruz, little Cruz is going to go to school next year and melt the faces off of some kids
yeah.
when he tells them what Jesus did for him. He's a giant. And I told Mick, I said, it's all because of you, because you're a great dad.
Yeah.
You're just a great dad. You've pointed him to the one. And so when I talk to these guys, I'm like, bring me within the song what God gave you. And that's how we put these together. And you know why? If we do that and everybody uses their particular set of giftings, that's where the voice of Jesus can come out. That's why Jesus had 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he could multiply himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking with Benny DeShara, And we have had such a good time talking about his releases that are already at the top of the charts. And I'm so happy to say that, you know, you humbly give God all of the credit for
absolutely.
This. And I look at, you know, what some of the obstacles you've gone through with your brain injury and the loss of your father. All of these things do cause noise in our creativity.
They do.
They out of it either comes something very beautiful or we just go. I know when my younger sister passed away, I go, there's no more music. The music is gone. She was a fantastic pianist. The music's gone. There's no more music. But then I went on and went back to the church that she'd played for 13 years as the pianist and organist. And they were just at loss, you know, how to replace her. And so I said, I'll try. I'll try. I know I can never play as good as she did, even though I had taught her. Mm-hmm. But you know how it is. Your students often, excel your abilities. And it helped us both. It helped them through the grieving process. And it helped me. And music is, science cannot figure out how music is made. There's no way.
They can't. And she lives on through you by you playing.
Yes. And I have all her music now. So I have so much fun going through it, seeing her notes on it.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Everything from The Flight of the Bumblebee. I'm like, I'm drying this. But right. How did she get her fingers? I'm moving so fast. But I love music. And I can hardly wait till I can, you know, insert a little bit here for our listeners to listen to your music. And now they know the story behind it.
Yeah.
So maybe you can close out the show with maybe your favorite text or promise for our listeners.
Sure. Boy, I have one to share with you as well. God has given this to me. I'm already working on it as a song, but this is what he's given me for your listeners, because he gave it to me for me, I'm sure. And surrender the outcome. Right? So if we believe that the Bible is the living, breathing word of God, it is. If we believe that God Almighty is the I Am, which he is, and we've read the book, and no less we've read the last book of the book, the outcome has already been determined. So in our life, when we're struggling with stuff, what are we struggling for? And it's because our focus is shifted from that promise that's in the outcome. So we can move fearfully, and not fearfully, but fearlessly, and we can move energetically in our purpose that he created us for and point people to Jesus. And that's the whole reason he designed us, right? To bring glory to him. And so surrender the outcome is the message, right?
And
just look to Jesus, and he's waiting for you. If you've never met him, boy, is he waiting for you. And we're all one big happy family, and we'll be so eternally in heaven together.
What a great way to conclude the interview. Thank you so much, Benny, for being with us. Be sure you go to the website rockinforjesus.com, and I hope that you are as inspired as I am. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless. Again, thank you. I know you have a heart for young people too, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.